Hi, I'm Tony. My dad is Sunday Steven. This is Sippin' Tea with Heather and Steven.
Okay, so I have had this issue since we went through everything with COVID, okay? And I found myself to be, before COVID, a person that talked about kind of things that were not controversial, but I would share my opinion on things.
Oh.
Like, I know you're shocked right now. His face was, oh, really? Okay.
Oh, so how much can you pack into one two-letter word?
Oh. Okay, shocker. So after, when we got into COVID, I think I became a lot more sensitive to the fact that there were a lot of people out there who did not agree with me.
Oh,
okay. Uh-huh. So when you I meet a lot of parents, I meet a lot of people because our kids are involved in the school district.
Sure, absolutely.
When you come in contact with someone and you see them on a regular basis, okay,
Right.
Do you assume that they believe the same way you do? Or do you believe, like, right off the bat, not before, like when you start a relationship with them,
yeah,
do you believe they believe the same way you do? Or do you assume they don't?
Well, in the circles that I run in, it is a safer assumption.
Oh, okay.
To make that they are more like you, belief structure wise, than dislike you.
Okay.
And that has played well for me, but you can't always assume that. I mean, I'm going to digress for just a moment. Mm-hmm. I get to be an adjunct faculty member here at Olivet.
Okay.
And so this gives you this example. I go in, and when I'm right before class, I don't always have a devotional, but there may be a devotional, but there's always prayer.
Okay.
Always 100% of the time.
Right.
It's just something I'm going to do. It has become part of my landscape in this comm class that I teach.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with that. Even if no one wants to pray, I'm going to pray. That's right. I look at them and go, okay, anyone want to? Okay. So we pray.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be inaccurate for me to assume that everybody in that room knows how to pray.
Okay.
But I walk in, and my assumption that I'm going to lean into is, even if you don't know how to pray, I'm going to show you what it looks like. If I were to be honest with you, if you think about all the different type of people that can attend a university, there's all kinds of walks of life,
mm-hmm.
but I guess it is an assumption that they're more like me than they're not like me. And so I proceed into that part time of prayer. And so I would say, as an example, that's an assumption I make quite a bit. And maybe when I start to talk to those people or I interact to the point where I go, no, I don't agree with that. That's when I go, okay, how do I speak into it?
Mm-hmm.
Because I've assumed this whole set of conclusions that I arrived all on my own. Didn't ask him about it, may never have questioned them.
Right.
And then when it comes up, then I'm not sure how to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I'm worried, well, what other dominoes are going to fall behind that?
For sure.
Maybe they don't agree with me about all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's healthy. I think that's an area in my life because it could be a branch of kind of being judgmental if it's not tempered with God made all kinds of people and we come from all kinds. And this is funny about me. I still treat people as though there are only two kinds of people, pre-Christians and Christians.
Right.
Because in the end of my belief system, and this is how odd I am, I know that everyone is going to meet at some point a loving, interested in them God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it only serves my small mind well to say you're either a pre-Christian, it's somebody who hasn't been exposed or hasn't heard or just is in that searching phase of their life, or you have met the living God and you are a Christian. And that's how I understand that there's more than that?
For sure.
Well, if you're using other descriptors, but when I break it down and it's easier for my smallish brain, and I admit I'm very Midwestern perspective and very, a Christ follower perspective and a very middle of the road kind of male perspective. But that for me is how that all breaks down, and I'm able to process my world around me that way. If I go deeper into that, maybe that runs into judgmentalism, but I don't want to go into that deep, and I leave it at that. You know what? Just because you're a pre-Christian doesn't mean that I have to win you.
No, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, but I do have to continue to live my Christian beliefs in front of you,
right,
because I'm no longer a pre-Christian in that I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't know if that helps, but that's kind of where I'm at with it.
I think it's really complicated. Because,
and I agree.
I think you and I run in different circles of people, really. Because
I agree with that as well.
Because you are an ordained pastor and you're a professor at a Christian university.
I am.
Our kids go to public school. Obviously,
yes.
I work for a Christian radio station, but that's not
right.
what I lead
Several.
With.
Several.
That's not what I lead with. Oh, hi, I'm Heather Erb. I work for Shine.fm, Hope FM, okay. and Sound, you know.
Yeah.
But I think I became fearful of people's reaction to my beliefs.
Was there a moment that instilled that fear?
I think during COVID, it
combusted into this thing?
Well, I think I had some people in my life who were very, very passionate about certain things about COVID, and I don't want to throw anybody under the bus,
okay.
that I didn't necessarily agree with.
Right.
And I think there was some issues with our school district, and because
okay.
we were in Michigan, so things
sure.
were locked down for a very long time.
Right.
And I became very involved in that conversation.
Gotcha.
People were nasty to each other and mean to each other. And that bothered me because
sure.
I understood that they didn't agree with me, but I
right.
didn't like the way they were treating each other. And so I think now what I do, and I'm not ashamed that I am a believer. I'm not ashamed that I work for a Christian radio station, but like I went to band camp. And band can be one of those things where there's some things that are happening with kids in the band that I don't agree with, that I don't think should be happening.
Right.
There are parents who agree with that,
Okay.
And so I felt like I just needed to be nice and kind. And what I found interesting was that they would share things with me as though they believed I agreed with them.
Interesting.
And
so you saw that modeled. Where you say,
yes.
okay, I'm going to make the assumption that we are more alike than disalike.
Right.
And then that assumption was in someone else.
Right.
Wow, interesting.
And it was super, I was like, now, if they would have come out and asked me, well,
you would have answered.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
But I think I rather would love people well and treat them well
Amen.
Than have an argument.
Amen. Yeah.
Because it's not, I don't believe that I can make an argument for some of that stuff. I can say, I believe the Bible's true.
Right.
I believe, you don't believe the Bible's true. You might not believe some of that stuff then.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, but I feel like loving them well and treating them well, building that relationship. And I think that's where it starts with me. I care much more about the relationship than I do about being right now.
That's an interesting perspective, because how does being right bring someone closer to a personal relationship with God?
It doesn't.
I mean, because you can be right all day long.
I don't think it
and
does.
And in your own righteousness, how does that bring anyone who is a pre-Christian closer to the desiring of a knowledge of God?
It doesn't.
And I don't think it does.
Mm-mm.
So there, you would never run from the truth.
No.
And the truth is absolute in your mind, because your source of truth is absolute. It's the Bible.
That's right.
But wisdom is knowing when to share that truth in a right way so someone hears it.
Right.
And so being righteous or right all the time may not be the best tool for mm-hmm. sharing that.
Here's the
That's
other thing
good.
I will say
I like that.
Is that obviously when you spend a week with other people and you're like with, you know, at the cafeteria and you're at things, we talk to each other, obviously,
sure.
you know. And it came out that I worked for a Christian radio station.
Okay.
A couple of the people that have radically different beliefs than me have a Christian background.
Interesting.
Some of it is pretty painful.
Oh, yeah.
I got to have some sort of spiritual conversation with them. Not like, oh, do you know Jesus as your person?
Right,
but
right,
like,
right, right.
wow, tell me about yeah. what happened with your dad. And he was
yeah.
a pastor. And tell me you were in this church and then your husband got sick and they never showed up for you.
Wow.
Like those types of things. And so
yeah.
I find it interesting. My observation is that sometimes they've been exposed to the gospel.
Sure.
They know
Absolutely.
The truth. It's the people in the church or the situations that have hurt them
right.
that have caused them to not necessarily
right.
agree with the Bible and agree with everything that Christians stand for.
Right. Thinking about that situation, though, specifically at that environment you were in, I think you mentioned band camp.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When they found out you were a Christian, did their attitude towards you shift?
No.
Could you feel a shift in their
I didn't.
Toward you?
I always feel like I'm going to get that Oh. Mm-hmm. Because I do think people probably have some sort of idea of what Christian radio is.
Right. They have a preconceived notion.
Right. The inspirational Christian radio music of the 80s, you know,
right.
Or the Petras or that, which is not bad. I'm not saying.
No.
But it's, and so I think, you know, and they say, like, sometimes they'll ask me, they'll say, well, what do you talk about? I'm like, well, I share about my life and I share about how God's working in my life. And, you know, and they're like for an hour? I'm like, no, just like, I know they're like, wow. Okay,
do you know
Heather.
How much prep would have to go into talking about anything for an hour?
But I'm like, no, I just talk like four times an hour and I just, right. You know, and so
right.
I don't know that anybody has necessarily tuned in from those conversations, but
sure.
I have gotten more comfortable with that saying,
good.
Oh, I work for a Christian radio station, you know,
yeah.
Because you never quite know what,
right.
You know, who you're going to come in contact with and what that might lead to, you know, because
right.
They'd be like, wow, really? Okay, well, I'm going to listen. They could. No one's ever said that, but
right.
Someone could say that at some point. So.
I just think that it's an interesting perspective that, you know, even in their hurts, they were still willing to treat you with a civility, still willing to have that conversation. And yet you didn't have to back off your faith.
No,
you didn't
right.
have to apologize for your faith.
Mm-mm.
And you, whereas had you been timid about it, maybe they would have felt like, well, we can attack her. I'm not saying they did and
no.
It would have. I'm just saying that it could have crossed their minds like, well, this lady doesn't really believe the faith she says she does. But it became so apparent that that truth was absolute in your
right.
life that they felt comfortable coming back to you and going, hey, you know what? I don't have a problem with you being in Christian radio. I don't have a problem. You seem like a great gal,
mm-hmm.
you know, or whatever.
Right.
Very complimentary. But I can't do the whole church thing. And then you're still, what you're doing then is rebuilding bridges at that
right.
point.
Well, and I think for me, it's all about just, and again, I think I've already said this a couple of times, but it's just loving people well.
Oh, yeah.
And not
absolutely.
Going, oh, so you don't go to church? Oh,
yeah.
So you don't.
Right.
And I think that would have been a young Heather's response to
oh,
things.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And I think now,
I
after everything that I've seen and experienced, I know that there's a lot of hurt in this world.
Yes.
And I also understand that I don't know what's going on in everybody's homes.
Yeah.
And they may have a little chip on their shoulder and they may be putting stuff on Facebook that is calling names of other people, but there's probably something underneath that.
Yeah.
It isn't probably about their actions or their behavior. It's probably about some deep-seated pain
right.
or suffering that they have going on that they don't know what to do with and they don't know how to reconcile that in their life. And so they're taking it out on other people.
Right, right.
So.
And I want to add this. I had an opportunity and I do this. I hope I do this every semester. I think I do anyway. I'll take credit for doing this every semester, even if I've forgotten. Let's put it that way.
I'll remind you.
Okay, yeah, please do. At the beginning of every semester, I tell my students, 25 is usually the limit in my class. And I look at them bright-eyed, fearful, most of them, because they're true college freshmen.
Yeah.
And I tell them, look, I want to pour into you. Will you allow me to do that this semester?
Mm.
Let me to pour into you in some way, because here's what I know. In 10 years, you will probably not remember what grade I give you, what
right.
grade you've earned in this class.
Right.
But you will always, and potentially for the rest of your life, remember how I treated you.
Yeah.
And so I say, I am literally saying this out loud so you can hold you, the listener, the class, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can hold me accountable. I want to treat you so well that not because I want to become your favorite prof and I'm cool and like he,
but
look,
there's a little bit
yeah,
of you
there's a little
like,
bit
I
of it.
I want to be talked about by the students.
He's cool like Mr. Rogers is cool, you know. I was going to say,
that is
you know
a
what, in some circles, I'll take that. But the reality is I want them to remember they were treated well by me.
Right.
And I think that goes into that community building you were talking about.
Sure.
It may not be, well, where was I or what class? Well, I don't even remember what course that was, but I remember Prof. Alvarado always treating us with respect and kindness
right.
and was patient and all of the things that you can do to build a person up instead of tear them down.
Right, for sure.
And so I like that message that you shared.
Yeah. This has been Sippin' Tea with Heather and Stephen. If you would like us to answer a question, email me, Heather@shine.fm.